Oh, we should have some pictures up on the Coast to Coast website tomorrow for you. The Digicam pictures of the sci-fi pilot. Tommy has got his camera, and he's been looking at them all day. So we'll get them up on the website for you. When we come right back, Alex Jones, we're going to talk about the New World Order. We'll also talk about Blood Diamond on Coast to Coast AM. Well, in the movie Blood Diamond, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, he is a businessman. He's a mercenary turned diamond smuggler. And what he is able to do is he picks up the diamonds, leaks them over the border into Liberia, and helping the folks in Sierra Leone, those rebels, trade gems mined by captives for money and weapons. And it turns out to be an incredible movie. Alex, I don't know if you've seen the movie or not, but I just wanted to get your reaction to what we've been hearing, because I know you've been looking and keeping up on this.
George, you never cease to amaze me, because when you said that, I didn't know if you were aware, because I haven't written articles about it, I've just talked about it, that I'm somewhat of an expert on this subject. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, my dad didn't make a bunch of money doing it, but it's a trust business, so he went to the University of Texas with the DeBoole brothers, and that's not De Beers, that's not the Oppenheimers, that's DeBoole's. They were French South Africans.
Yeah, and DeBoole's. DeBoole's is not the electronic voting box company either. That's
no, it's DeBoole. Not DeBoole. it's the Boole's. And so he actually put himself through medical school just because he was just a low-level courier when and this was all legal stuff. When diamonds would come in, he hadn't done it in 30 years or so, or I guess 27, 28 years. He would carry them around in Dallas, Texas, where I grew up. And so I remember these French guys coming over to the house. I remember my dad going and giving presentations. I remember, seeing my dad on national TV when they brought some giant diamond to Dallas. And there he was with the Boole brothers, and they had guys with shotguns guarding it. So my dad just, did work for them occasionally because he went to school with them and was in the same fraternity. And so I remember my dad, when I was little, explaining to me, he said, "Son, rubies and emeralds are precious." But he said, "Here's a scale," because he would go do presentations for them as well. And he would show me that diamonds, and this is now pretty much an open secret, back then nobody knew this, diamonds are on the low end of semi-precious. They are not much more valuable than rhinestones. And the British royal family, or the Dutch royal family, licensed through Cecil Rhodes. I mean, the guy had a country named after him, Rhodesia, just north of South Africa. And they knew that diamonds in South Africa and in many other areas of Africa, all the way up to the Western Gold Coast, literally lay on the ground. They're everywhere.
My gosh. Huge.
And so they did a big scam about 120 years ago with the royal family. This was a huge public relations stunt. The royal family started wearing huge gowns of diamonds. They told everybody it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, because they had a monopoly, because diamonds are only in certain places, Australia, Arkansas in the U.S., but predominantly in areas of Africa. So they artificially went in, paid mercenaries, controlled whole regions, would pay anybody exorbitant prices just to ensure they didn't get on the open market. And about 10 years ago, there was a program. I've interviewed the lady. If you're into this, you ought to talk to her, George. You probably already have. And she's a British lady. She's married to a lord. Very wealthy. She made a film called Diamond Empire.
No, I have not talked to her.
And in the film, she went to the mines. She showed what's happening. She got them to admit it. Somehow she got De Beers in France and in London, in Paris and London, to let her into warehouses. I mean, huge warehouses, folks. I'm talking in warehouses where it's like something at the end of Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, an endless warehouse full of huge locked cases, giant mounds of diamonds.
Untouched, uncut.
Yes, untouched, uncut, just huge mounds of endless diamonds. And then De Beers, which is just the name of a mine in South Africa, the family that owns its Oppenheimer, they own Nokia and a bunch of other stuff. They were given the monopoly, and they pay a certain percentage to the two royal families that run the planet. And that's the Saxe-Coburg-Gothas. That's the Queen of England. Their front name is House of Windsor. The British don't even know their own queen's name. That's Germans. And then the Dutch royal family, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, whose wealth is a state secret. But she owns Dutch Royal Shell and a bunch of other stuff. But this is all publicly available. And so what happened here is they then hype with, you know, just like Coca-Cola made Santa Claus a guy in a red and white suit in the 20s. You know, that's the power of PR when advertising was just getting hot and people were so susceptible to it. Well, the same thing with those ads, Diamonds Are Forever, all of this. They took something that literally is on the low end of semi-precious. Folks, they're almost worthless, okay? A one-carat cut diamond's worth about $5, and that's only because of the cost of cutting it, okay? These things are at, now the rich have learned this, the nouveau riche, so the new rich, so they're now getting colored diamonds. There are some colored diamonds that are rare and precious. So,
like the yellow ones and things like pink ones.
Orange ones, exactly. Yeah. Green ones, blue ones, red ones. And so, 3 years ago, when Prince Charles married Camilla Parker Bowles, it was in the news he didn't give her a diamond. You know, he gave her a ruby.
Yeah.
Because they know. I mean, this is, it'd be like giving her a $5, you know, nothing. So there's all these people mortgaging, you know, people paying half their year's salary to engage. And I mean, I'm a hypocrite too. My wife's got a diamond ring. You know, it's traditional now.
Hey, diamonds are a girl's best friend, Alex.
Sure. So I'm a hypocrite. I mean, I'm here saying all this, but that's what she wanted. That's what she's got. But the point is,
and you probably paid a pretty good penny for it too.
Well, yeah, exactly. I actually, I didn't want to give the De Beers anything, so I knew somebody in Houston. I got one out of Israel.
You got a deal.
Yeah, I got it at about a tenth the price. But the point is, folks, you're being totally scammed, and this is the same thing with peak oil. There's too much oil. There is enough oil around the country for hundreds of years in Alaska, hundreds of years off the Gulf Coast, Gulf of Mexico. This is all discovered oil. There's too much of it, so the globalists in their own documents, this has even been the Associated Press, we did a whole show on
it. Well, and you know I believe the planet makes its own oil.
Well, a lot of top scientists think that. We did a whole show on it, and you've been right about this all along. We got Dutch Royal Shell documents. Even Greg Palast of BBC has reported this. 10 years ago, they created the peak oil myth to, again, create the illusion of
shortages whenever they want.
Shortages whenever they want. And so people say, oh, well, we didn't go to Iraq for oil because they're not pumping any oil now. No. When Saddam got in trouble in 1990, it was all over the news. You'll remember this. It was because, remember, he was over-pumping, overselling. OPEC was mad. He was driving down the price, remember?
And he was going to flip he was going to go from the dollar to the euro.
Sure.
For the oil. And also he wanted to take those oil areas from Kuwait, which he claims were his.
Exactly. So again, it's about going into Iran, going into Iraq, going into Afghanistan, which has as much oil as Saudi Arabia, they're now saying, and shutting it off, or the price will drop down to absolutely nothing, you know, just the price of refining and shipping. So much of the world, and by the way, I remember a April 2000 New Yorker magazine article where De Beers was bragging about how they hire mercenaries and how they go after people. So I did see Blood Diamond. And at the end, I'll go ahead and spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give it away. Folks should see it. They do admit, but most people, it'll go over their heads, that people just buy the conflict diamonds. That's a diamond that isn't controlled by the monopoly.
But nobody really knows what it is or where it came from, right?
Exactly. So they call it a conflict diamond. They try to connect it to our blood diamond. They try to connect it to terrorism and all this. No. That's just because it's artificially scarce, and because they have a monopoly, there's going to be incredible profits in quote, smuggling a diamond. Why is it smuggled? Well, just because the Oppenheimers and the De Beers company didn't get their cut. And by the early 90s, they had gone from 97% control of diamonds to 90%. Diamonds plunged in price. They then hired military campaigns. They bragged about it. They sent in the gunships. They sent in the French and British troops. And so the rebels who were demonized, this movie demonizes the rebels, who certainly aren't perfect.
Well, what happens to the captive who steals the diamonds, sticks them in his toes or something when he leaves? What happens to that guy?
Well, in the real world, this is another thing. In South Africa, in Rhodesia, which is Zimbabwe, in all these places, what they do is they x-ray you. In the real world, you know, the film's got them chopping people's arms and legs off. In the real world, they x-ray you with high-powered, you know, the equivalent of a chest x-ray, because they're x-raying your stomach and intestines, because people swallow them. So they take these black villagers. It's basically the only job they can have. They're not allowed to mine gold or diamonds themselves, which you can just pan out of the river, which this film shows them low-tech, you know, getting the stuff out of the river. In reality, they send them down into these mile-deep, super-hot mines, and they then x-ray them every day when they leave. Over the years, thousands of chest x-rays, horrible for them, and they get a fraction of the value. A lot of times, the same thing in Australia with the Aborigines, they fly them sometimes thousands of miles from where they actually live. They fly them in, and they basically live in prison camps, and then are paid their sum once a month and aren't even allowed to go back and see their family but once a year. But they x-ray them.
They x-ray them in case they eat them.
Yes.
Swallow them.
And it's a high-powered x-ray. So all I'm telling people is that my wife now, you know, many years, you know, we've been married now, it's hard to believe, 5 years. That seems like many years, but it's not really.
Five is nothing else.
Yeah, it's nothing. But I didn't argue. She's like, oh, I want a diamond. I said, okay, you know, it's worthless. And she said, well, everybody's got a diamond.
Is that what you told her? It's worthless?
Well, I mean, I told her, I said, you want a big, I said, you want a diamond? You want, she's going to get mad here in the show. I'm going to be skinned alive tomorrow. But
just make sure she lets you finish the show before she goes after
she's,
it, right?
She's sawing logs, but she'll hear it tomorrow. They re-air it locally on KLBJ, but but you know,
sawing logs. What do you got her out there plowing the fields too?
Yeah, that's a, no, I meant sleeping.
All right,
it's an old. I guess it's an old redneck.
That's over my head. I'm a sophisticated guy from the city. I don't understand that jargon.
Oh, come on, that's actually a hick saying, sawing logs. I don't know what it means. My dad says.
I really thought you had her out there doing something for the fireplace. Or
something. No. That's funny. No. But I mean, you know, women get around their friends, and even really well-educated women, like my wife, who's got 2 degrees and speaks 4 languages. You know, her dad was, you know, a big diplomat. She still wants the diamond, but now she knows. Now she knows, but still, it's a status symbol, and that shows the power of propaganda. The myth of diamond value is the myth that Al-Qaeda is independent of the New World Order. I'm not saying Al-Qaeda isn't a threat and won't carry out violence. What I'm saying is it is manufactured and created.
Or hired.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing. Look, you have these big global cartels that own the oil, that own the raw materials, that own the major industries, and they're about monopolies. That's why they want a global government. You know, people always say, well, the next step, you know, we've gone from city states to nations and now to global government. We'll all be global citizens. Under a global system, folks, you're a man or a woman without a country. When they set up North American unions, they take due process and the Bill of Rights away. When they set up a European Union, they took people's basic liberties and their right to a redress of grievances and petition away. This is global corporations as a crime syndicate, these old line corporations teaming up to create a world government to enforce monopolies and expand their control. And they openly say that.
Well, Alex, next half hour, I want to talk about the New World Order because it's truly rolling along, which ties into some of the work you've done on the Bilderbergs. But, I mean, what can people do? I mean, if you want to buy diamonds, you're going to buy diamonds, I guess. You don't know where the money's going, do you?
No, you don't. a small percentage, but it's still in the billions every year, will go. Bottom line, if you buy diamonds, it is coming from, at best, disadvantaged people being paid slave wages who are x-rayed and who end up dying of cancer most of the time, x-rayed every day. Again, that's been on PBS, folks. This is admitted. So at the bare minimum, you're exploiting people. It's like buying tennis shoes that you know are made by slaves. And at the worst case scenario, it is people in Sierra Leone down in little mud, you know, digs or at the side of a creek with guys with machine guns at their back, literally using them as slaves to mine diamonds. And on top of it, it's semi-precious, and it's just absolutely outrageous that this type of fraud can be foisted on us. But it's like everything else in society. What people think to be true, what people believe is real, so many times is the complete opposite. I mean, I remember 10 years ago talking about the North American Union when it was coming. People couldn't believe it. Now they believe it's coming, but they don't know it's already here. We are now, since March of last year, the agreements were signed. They're circumventing the Congress of Mexico, the Parliament of Canada, the Congress of the U.S. They're not involved. The bureaucracies have been ordered by the three executive branches of the countries to merge. And they are openly merging the Social Security, merging the police, merging the military, merging food standards, merging the taxation. 3 months ago, of course, he's covered this for Human Events. Jerome Corsi, Dr. Corsi, as you've interviewed him, Texas business owners got new tax ID numbers saying North American Union business. So the North American Union isn't coming. The North American Union is here. It's the same thing with the European Union. The BBC a few years ago reported, got some of the minutes of the Bilderberg Group's first meeting in 1954. Headed up by Prince Bernhard, who was a big Nazi SS officer in World War II, and they bragged. They said, we're going to set up a European Union. We're going to call it trade deals, and by the time they figure out that we've basically – it's world domination. It's conquest without firing a shot. I mean, Hitler took Czechoslovakia, Poland, and France in a year. These guys are – you know, taking over whole countries, but over decades by infiltrating, paying off the politicians, and having the politicians then cede and by law and by regulatory fiat sign over the authority of these countries to the IMF, the World Bank, the Exim Bank, the World Trade Organization. I mean, the World Trade Organization was set up in 1995, and by 2000, the countries of the world, almost all of them, including the U.S., had signed over more legislative and lawmaking authority to that body than they themselves retained. All the time, Congress is overridden by the World Trade Organization, a private corporation that is chaired by the heads of these major companies. I mean, think about that, folks. Congress handed over or advocated their authority, ceded it over to a private group who serve at the leisure of these royal families that own our private central banks. I mean, we are already, to a great extent, slaves. But again, the good news is the people are finally waking up to that, and that's what the establishment is worried about. So they stage terror attacks, they fund terror groups to scare us back under their black wings, back under their system's control.
Stay with us. Alex Jones has a couple websites, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. I'll be back with him in just a moment. We'll talk about this highway system that's supposed to tie in Mexico all the way through the United States into Canada. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, there's going to be a time change for the book signing, Worker in the Light, in San Diego. It starts at 1 p.m., 1 until 3 p.m., so please make sure you make note of that. I don't want you to miss it. It will be at the Clear de Lune Coffee Shop, as it always was, 2904 University Avenue, North Park, San Diego, this Saturday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., the book signing for Worker in the Light. And we're going to take phone calls with Alex next hour. A couple things we'll talk with him about this half hour. The plunging dollar, of course. And what's going on with the highway system, Alex, connecting Mexico to Canada?
Well, that's going to be the taxing mechanism, or one of the taxing mechanisms for the North American Union. Over 25 federal agencies are now merging their activities and coordinating them. Just a few months ago in Canada, they had a secret meeting with over 50 CEOs and then the heads of all the federal agencies in Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. And basically, it's a huge business deal, all colluding to use government and then privilege corporations to basically corner the market and there's the only way to describe it is organized crime. And most people will say, well, they're building or they're going to build the Trans-NAFTA highway. And a lot of researchers have only focused in on I-35, which is about 4 miles from where I sit here in Austin, Texas. And it runs down to the border with Mexico and then has other Mexican highways that link up with it. And it's going to go all the way down to the east coast of Mexico, where major Chinese shipping container ships are already coming in. And this main arterial is going to then run all the way up through Minneapolis into Canada. Of course, the Mexican government has already made deals. It's been in the Kansas City Star that the Mexican government is going to, quote, have its port of entry in Kansas City. And they are basically being given the huge railway facility that's there. And the Mexican government is being given the power under NAFTA and under the Free Trade Area of the Americas to then search the tens of millions of containers that will come through on 18-wheeler tractor trailers and that are brought in on the big locomotive trains that will come up out of Mexico. But if you go to SPP.gov, the Security and Prosperity Partnership, they admit that 82 other federal interstate highways, and that's basically all of them. You look at the map they have, and you look at the 82, including I-35, it's basically every major road in Colorado and California and New York and Florida and Ohio and Illinois and Indiana and Oklahoma, Mississippi, Louisiana, everywhere. Every major federal road we've paid for is going to be internationalized, and they're going to give it a local flavor, though. It's the Trans-Texas Corridor, the Trans-Floridian Corridor, the Trans-Kansas Corridor, and then certain sections of it are given to management of predominantly foreign companies backed up by foreign money. You led the national charge, George, and you deserve the credit for that, shooting down 21 ports. It wasn't six, it wasn't seven, 21 ports from Corpus Christi, Texas, to Boston Harbor.
Yeah, but they've still pulled the wool over our eyes with that, Alex.
Yeah, they've just used a U.S. front company. You're right.
They lied to us. They said that company was going to sell the leases, and they never did. They lied to us.
They did to neutralize it, but still it's in trouble. My point is, you really nationally, with your 16-plus million listeners, brought that to the attention because I was screaming bloody murder. And as soon as you covered it, it finally got traction and got picked up by the mainstream press. But the point is, when we hear about 21 ports, the port of Houston, I mean, just all over the place, that's the tip of the iceberg. Sintra, the Spanish-owned company, and Juan Carlos, the king of Spain, this is in our local paper, they tried to deny it, now they admit it, is one of the main owners of it. And I interviewed the Nobel Prize winner, Joseph Stiglitz, and former chief economist, World Bank, and he said, clearly this is our country going into receivership. So different nations are given huge sections of the federal and state highways. Now, it's 82 federal roads. It's hundreds of major state highways and farm-to-market roads in Texas that they've already admitted, Texas Department of Transportation. That's the problem here. That's why talk so fast and cover so much, because it's like I'm trying to tell people the Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm trying to basically drink out of a fire hose here. It's so bad, folks, you can't even describe it. It makes the ports pale in significance, and it's so big that I have trouble even grasping, and I know the listeners do. I know George probably does, because this betrayal, this sellout of our country, because roads, you know, the Romans said all roads lead to Rome. They would pay to build paved roads into Rome, into Italy, because they knew that would make transportation, that would make commerce and taxation come their way. Roads are keys to empires. Hitler was big on roads with the Autobahn. That's why Eisenhower built our modern interstate highway system and even used German engineers on the Autobahn model. And our interstate was meant to be also, in case the Russians invaded, a way to move our troops around and defeat them.
Right.
And so planes could land. Well, think about that. That military infrastructure that we paid for is being subdivided in these backroom deals and totally handed over. Now, when the SBP bureaucrats in our federal government talk about it, they say, well, don't worry. The Mexicans get Kansas City and get a facility outside Austin, and they're going to run it, and nobody's going to search it but them, and as corrupt as that government is. But it's worse. The communist Chinese in the Bahamas are getting the deep water ports that our government ran. They're giving up the leases, handing it over to them. The Panama Canal since 99. We're being totally and completely encircled. But then their argument is, well, we're going to have U.S. port officials down on the east coast of southern Mexico, where the railheads and the roads start. Well, so what? See, that's globalization. Americans and Mexicans are going to be running things in the governmental system of Canada. Canadians and Mexicans are going to be here running it, and we're going to be down there in Mexico. That's what the Soviets would do. When the Soviets had, what was it, 14 different satellite countries, they would send bureaucrats from the north of the country to the south to make sure they weren't dominating their own family or people in their region. They would send people from one country to another country. I mean, this is total empire. This is absolute bondage and enslavement, but it gets worse. Last year in the Texas legislative session, we beat by 2 votes something that was sure to pass. They told us, don't even try to fight it. Inspection stickers in Texas. We're going to have a tracker chip, an RFID, radio frequency identification device that George has covered for many years with Catherine Albert and others. And this is happening all over the nation and in England and in Germany. The exact same program's going in where you're forced in your inspection sticker. You don't go get a K-tag or an easy pass that you put in your window that's an RFID by choice. They take the ability to pay with cash or coins away, and then they admitted everything you did was going to be tracked with that, and the minute your insurance went up, they were going to flag you on a police screen in all cars to then arrest you. And you go, oh, that sounds good, but the point is it's total Big Brother. So they're going to use seizing the roads as a tax to fund the North American Union. But guess what happened?
What?
TxDOT still funded this incredibly expensive cartoon ad. I've been to the movies. In fact, when I was watching Blood Diamond and, you know, they're there shooting people that are stealing diamonds, I'm sitting before the movie, they played the ad. It's all over TV in Texas. It's all over radio. But the ad is the TV ad, movie ad is a cartoon where these happy people have got their new inspection sticker that has a chip in it that makes the roads so fun to drive on. We beat the bill, but they don't care. They'd already bought the ad package, so they're running an ad telling you you've got a chip in your sticker when you don't. George, is that not amazing?
It is incredible, Alex. But you know what? I expected it. And I also think they're going to try to chip all of us pretty soon. I think it's going to come up sooner than later.
You've got a story on Coast to Coast AM right now. Yep. What, out of the Toronto Star?
You got it.
What's the headline? Sooner or later?
We're going to have chips. I'm not going to do it, though. Will you?
Absolutely not. But I've talked to these transhumanists. I've talked to these posthumanists. I've talked to the Applied Digital CEO. And they said, well, you're not going to be forced. It's just all the major corporations are going to say, if you want a job here, you've got to have it. And remember 3 years ago, the Mexican Attorney General in Mexico City said that the 300-plus employees...
They had to get chipped.
And by the way, then the media lied and said they all accepted. Then it came out that only 60-something agreed. But again, the mainstream media acted like everybody went along with it. So it's already happening. I have about 2.5 years ago, I have a cousin who's in special forces. He's been in the military for 18 years, very patriotic, great American. He'd argued with me about 5-6 years ago about the New World Order, the police state, at a family reunion. He was in Austin, just coming through Bergstrom. He said, I want to come over to your house. He came over, we're sitting there drinking coffee, and he told me, he said, Alex, we've been told we're going to be getting chips in the next 2 years. We were called into a big meeting, hundreds of the officers in there, and they said, for our security, guess what? I saw him a few months ago, and I said, did you get the chip? And he said, no comment, can't talk about it.
He got it.
Yeah, he's got the chip.
He got it.
My family's getting chips, folks.
Sign of the beast, Alex.
My family's getting chips. This is somebody I was deer hunting with when I was 10 years old.
Gosh.
This is one of my older cousins I looked up to.
Yeah, but what do we do when they get to the point where without it, you can't shop, you can't bank?
Well, see, that's how they're going to do it. That's what they're saying. You know, that's the incredible thing. Everything in the Bible, and I approach everything from a news perspective. You know, I mean, I do a secular, you know, website, but you can't ignore the fact that the Bible does predict all of this. And where are the churches in America? The mainstream churches are saying, go along with it. Oh no, the chip isn't bad. I mean, I've got televangelists on TV when people call in and say, is it okay for me to get a chip? And they say, oh no, the chip's not the mark of the beast. It's going to be a mark in your hand. Well, Revelation says, it's the number of a man, let he who hath understanding reckon its number. And so again, it's a number that is attached to you. It's the number of that man. I mean, I can't think of it being described any clearer. Can you, George?
No, they're looking for some hikers who are lost on Mount Hood. And I just saw a story earlier today where they're trying to track them, find out where they are through GPS in their cell phones, hoping that their batteries are still alive.
Well, see, that's the other thing, is they also sell us on, and again, these things all have good uses. The problem is the abuses outweigh that. I remember in 96 reading the Telecommunications Act that said all cell phones would track you down to 15 feet by federal law. They had to have the program in. Telecommunications company said, we can't pay for this. They were given $9 billion to put it in. And I was at a funeral a year ago in Fort Worth, Texas. We're lost, me and my dad. And I said, Dad, call the cell phone company, and they'll tell you exactly where you're at. I know the company you've got. You've got the service. He goes, oh, Alex, they won't know right where we're at. And I said, call them. He didn't have GPS in his car. Right. He called. And they said, okay, you're at the corner of Maine and as we're driving down the road, we pass Maine. They knew exactly where they were.
See, let me tell you, on the face of it, all this is great for technology. It's great for services. The problem is when it gets in the hands of the unscrupulous few, the power-hungry people, then we're in deep trouble.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and it's been designed to be misused from the start. I mean, I remember in the same Telecommunications Act, it was saying that they had to have software on the phones allowing remote access to use it as a bug. In fact, I said that on your show. Associated Press week and a half ago, headline, FBI turning on cell phone microphones to listen to people.
Yep.
Hey, 2 months ago, and I'm a big fan of Google, I use it every day, Google, in a press release, they're proud of it. I wrote an article about it. It's up on prisonplanet.com. Google came out and said, and their stock went up, they said, we've developed software that when you use our service, it's put on your computer, where they're going to use the microphones and cameras built standard on all new computers, all new Macs, all new PCs, built in, even if it doesn't tell you what's inside the computer, to listen to everything that's going on in your house. But they said, don't worry, it's an artificially intelligent keyword, which is what the NSA uses, keyword system that will then listen to a dog barking, will know to send you junk mail or Google ads for dog food, or They're going to listen to what TV's on in the background. They're going to listen to what radio. They say this. You can go read. It's hundreds of pages Google published out of Tel Aviv University and the people that developed it. And if somebody came to your door and knocked and said, hey, I want to put a microphone in your house to collect data for marketing, you'd say, get the hell out of here. But Google just calmly announces, and then they mention two other companies that are doing similar things, but they brag their system's better. So then I learned about two more software companies without asking you that are putting it on your computer using the camera and the audio. And understand, folks, they don't have people listening and viewing you. It's computers listening for keywords, writing down with a computer everything you say. Then a program scans it to create your detailed psychological algorithm, so they literally have your exact number, so they know exactly what you're into. Nielsen's run into the problems with ratings that people will not admit they watch, Sex in the City or, shows like that on HBO. They'll claim they're watching the History Channel. They know that people will lie about what they really watch and listen to. Well, same thing with, Arbitron. Well, so Google brags, oh, yeah, this will give us real ratings on what. So this is light years ahead of cookies that are already on our computers. Folks, Big Brother is here. And then I have hundreds of news articles. Coast to coast, they're putting cameras in the school bathrooms. I mean, that's the new America. That is 1984 when there's cameras in the bathrooms to, quote, keep us safe. And then I have reports where rest stops coast to coast with federal grants are putting cameras in the bathrooms. And they've always got an excuse. Folks, is land of the free, home of the brave, cameras in the bathrooms. That's the type of stuff that we cover in Terror Storm. We don't just go over, George, the history of government-sponsored terrorism. We then show 7/7, 9/11, how criminal elements were involved. We show how Muslim groups are manipulated and controlled by these global organizations. Then we show the torture, the surveillance, the police state, the White House buying billions in fake newscasts and paying off reporters. We show people the big picture, and that's why I hope your listeners will visit coasttocoastam.com after the show or tomorrow and get that Google link. And after you watch it, folks, after you watch Terror Storm for free, pass it on to everybody you know. All I want to do is warn people. All I want to do is for people to get the big picture so my children and my family and George's family and everybody's family can live in peace and be happy and not be slaves, because you don't know what you've got until it's gone. We are going into tyranny. We are losing America. Tyranny is the norm. Liberty is precious and rare and incredibly wonderful, and we're losing it. And so I'm begging people, or buy the DVD at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or in Barnes & Nobles and Amazon and Virgin. Terror Storm is my best film. In fact, George, I haven't asked you. We're always springing things on each other. I know you've been incredibly busy yourself promoting Worker in the Light. Have you had a chance to watch those Terror Storms I sent you?
Yes, I sure have.
What did you think of it?
Phenomenal.
You're kidding.
No, of course. You did a great job.
Well, I mean, I was kind of getting nervous when I so you thought. I mean, what did you like about the film?
I just like the fact that you were able to inject your personality with real video and just tell us things that people really haven't heard before.
Thank you. I'll quote you on that to George Norrie.
That's how you got my quote, huh? We'll be back in a moment. Alex Jones, our guest. By the way, happy birthday to our very own Dan Galante. He's signing off for now, so I thought I'd do that before he wishes us adios for the night.